Three sets of scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 is relevant to the revelation of the supernatural. So important. That's a powerful scripture there. Paul had two things working for him. In 1 Corinthians 2:2, he said, "I'm determined not to know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified." And then over in the book of Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians 14, he said, "I speak in tongue more than you all." Those two things was a dynamic of him operating in the supernatural. I'm going to give you a definition of the supernatural that I think you can meditate upon and understand the inner working of the supernatural. It's God's divine abilities, plural. God's divine abilities and possibilities. That's a whole lot right there. Manifesting and demonstrating. Manifesting and demonstrating God's divine abilities, plural, and possibilities, plural. Manifesting and demonstrating in the earth realm, on his behalf and my behalf, through a divine sonship and partnership. Now, you're not going to find that in the book. In prayer, God gave me that when I was studying the supernatural. You want me to give it to you again? God's divine abilities, plural, and possibilities, plural. I notice it says manifesting and demonstrating. You're also going to add and creating in the earth realm on his behalf and my behalf to a divine sonship and partnership. Here's three things I want you to know, I want you to hear. The supernatural is one of the divine employees that God has given to us. Can you hear me? Secondly, the supernatural always affects what and who it touches. So the supernatural can touch what and who. What you're dealing with and who you're dealing with. The supernatural take you beyond your normality, being normal. The condition of being normal, the state of being usual. Right? Now, I must turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. This is an overlooked verse, and I want you to write in your note Ephesians chapter 3, because it talks about the dispensation of grace. I'm about to talk about grace for a few moments. You know, even though they got it all messed up in some dimension, but it still has to be taught, and we have to understand it, because if we don't understand grace, we're not going to be able to operate in the supernatural. In one of the most powerful verses you're going to find is Ephesians 2:8. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that's not of yourself. It is a gift of God." It's powerful. It made it common, but it's powerful. It's a powerful voice. Then in Romans 5, go to Romans 5. Romans 5. If the church is going to be prophetic and apostolic, you're going to have to operate in the supernatural. You're going to operate right in that definition I give you. You're going to have to operate, you as an individual, you're going to have to operate in that definition and know it possible to create and to manifest and to demonstrate unusually at any moment, because of your connection, because of your sonship, because of who you are in the spirit. All right? Now, in Romans 5, verse 1, it said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also, verse 2, we have what? By faith into this grace. But I'm going to give you a lot of definitions for grace in a few moments. Wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Maybe I should take it to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians 3. Because Paul says so much there about the dispensation of grace. And grace is one of the major ingredients of the supernatural. And here Paul opened this thing up. He had to have a revelation because it is a mystery. Mm-hmm. And here in this third chapter, I love to read this third chapter because it reveals so many things. It says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Now notice what he said in verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, underline that, the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me to you all. Now he said in verse 3, he tell you how you operate in this dispensation or how you operate in this grace. He says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, I got to read it, was not made unto the sons of men, as it now what? Revealed unto his holy apostle and prophet by the Spirit. You notice that? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the same body and partaker of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of what? Grace. Given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is given what? Grace. This grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles. What he said? Unsearchable riches of Christ. All right. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. What? Okay, according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ, Jesus our Lord. Now notice what verse 12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now, grace here, grace is a divine ability given by God for his people to become everything he has called them to be. Grace is the divine ability given by God for his people to become everything he has called them to be and to achieve what they are unable to do in their own abilities. Powerful. Listen at it. Listen at this now. Listen at this. This is powerful. Because grace is one of the four dimensions of the supernatural. I'm going to give you four dimensions of the supernatural thoroughly. Four dimensions of the supernatural thoroughly. Grace is the divine ability given by God for his people to become everything he have called them to. Otherwise, you can't become it without grace. And so he's talking about you have to have a divine ability to become, and you have to have this grace, divine ability to achieve. If you're going to function in the spirit realm, if you're going to function in the supernatural, you have to know that it's not your ability. Okay. You have to know. Okay, all right. So, and to achieve what they're unable to do in their own ability. So a lot of time, the reason people do not see the supernatural is they sometimes think it's a formula. It's not. You know, it's in the spirit realm, and this grace that comes from Jesus purchasing our divine right to be members of the family of God is what gives us the right to move out of this realm into another realm, which is a spirit realm. Now, your spirit ignites your soul and your soul ignites your body. And so a lot of time, people think they're operating spiritually, but they're operating soulish. So therefore, they don't see the supernatural in manifestation. Okay. So a lot of soul work going on in the church, because a lot of times the church thinks the spirit and the soul are the same thing. See, the soul not saved, the soul had to be ministered to. Now in Romans 12:3, turn that, he says, God give to every man, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Let's see just how you say it though, because it is a great statement there. Romans chapter 12. Now, class, we're studying the fourth dimension of the supernatural. Okay? The fourth dimension of the supernatural. You've got to have them all right. For I say it through the grace, Romans 12 and 3. For I say it through the grace. Now, Paul stuck with that grace. For I say it through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So the second dimension, I'm just going through them, then I'm going in detail of grace, detail of faith, detail of the anointing, detail of glory. It's actually grace, faith, anointing, and glory. You're going to have a handle on to yield to the Holy Spirit, to yield to the anointing that caused you to enter into another realm and produce divine results. Anytime you study the scripture about ministry, think about your personal life, your personal family, because if it don't work for you, okay, all right. So now, so when you talk about faith, let's get this definition of faith. So I'm giving you, well, I better not. Let's just work with grace a minute. We'll come back to the definition of faith and glory and anointing. Let's take grace apart and see what the Holy Ghost wants to do. And people have a wrong concept. The statement I'm about to make, three words: grace is power. Yeah. Grace sound like a soft word, like it does, you know, but it has power. Number one, grace is a divine ability given by God for his people to become everything he has called them to be. Right. Number two, and achieve what they are unable to do in their own ability. I'll just give you that. It is unmerited favor, an unmerited gift, or undeserved gift. Now, here's one of the problems why the church has not seen the supernatural. Many people just attribute grace to our salvation. You know, and so the power of grace or the power of the divine ability is not looked upon beyond getting saved. And if you do that, you're not going to function in the supernatural. You can't function in the supernatural without grace. So by Jesus' death on the cross, you know, God gave us his grace. It does not depend on how good we are, or the work we did or did not do despite our sin, failure, mistake, and rebellion. All y'all had some of that. All right. Here's what grace is. It is God's eternal presence, full of power, that give us the ability to be and do everything we cannot. In other words, and I'm repeating a lot of things on purpose, you need grace not just to be saved, but to live the rest of your life. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right? Yeah. The life that you will save to by grace is the same way you got to live it. Again, let's repeat it again. It is to have a divine power from God to live, do and accomplish things that you could not do on your own. I'll say that about 7 times. Why so many Christians live in sin? And it seems like they can't control it. You need to overcome sin thoughts and temptation by grace. Remember Paul, what Paul said? Look in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. As Paul was talking to the church, he had told them, take heed to yourself, to all the flock which the Holy Ghost make you overseer. He talked to the pastors how to maintain a church. But he made a recommendation to them in that 32nd verse. He recommended them to grace that can build them up and give them an inheritance. Acts 20 and 32. You see it? See? Mark that verse. Mark that verse. And see, because grace has something to do with your inheritance. And grace has something to do with you being built spiritually. See, to build you up, that means to build you up spiritually. Mm-hmm. You see that? Now, Paul said in Galatians, first chapter, he called it, actually, is the gospel of grace. He said, if anybody preach any other gospel, try to get credit to something else besides grace, it's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You read the first chapter of Galatians, you'll see that. Uh-huh. You need to preach about Jesus by his grace. Again, you can't do things on your own strength. You got that? So, in order, in ministry, in your personal life as a Christian, in order to walk in victory in this earth, you need his grace. All right? All right. You need his grace. Say, I need his grace.
I need grace.
Yeah, see, it's a gift. It's a gift from God. It's real powerful. You know, another word they changed grace with is favor. Yeah. So here's the author point out something here, and I know none of y'all are doing this. I pray to God you're not. If you have not been able to stop smoking, stop beating your wife, have a disciplined prayer life, preach to people about Christ in your own strength, cry out for grace. Let me go back over it. You can add a lot of stuff in here. Just the author just pointed out something that only grace can handle. I know grace took all that stuff from me, street and all that stuff. He just took it from me. I met some men. I was the manager of a band when I was in the street called the Soul Seekers. And I hadn't seen these men in 43 years. I hadn't seen them in 43 years. And they came to a funeral. And they talked to me like they know me, you know. But when I got saved, everybody who was in the world, God wiped it out. I didn't even recognize them. I had to pretend a little bit, but I didn't know them. Wow. I meet people who know me, but I don't know them. Grace is access to those doors that are beyond your reach. Write that down. Those that are on your reach. That I would not tell you the accomplishment of this ministry, what you said in the end, is grace. Because I went through a lot of doors, still going through them, that I couldn't reach. Amen? So don't try on your own power. Now here's as a minister, you need to know this too. Grace is a divine influence over the hearts of people. So that same grace take you beyond what is available to you in the natural. You listen, this, if you catch this next one, you're going to see some things. Grace is what gives an unqualified applicant divine influence. Oh, I love it. You look up here, you see it right here. I love it. You know, How could I think about it though? A game was being in Madison Square Garden and playing a game the other night. LeBron James them was playing in Madison Square Garden. I preached in Madison Square Garden. Underqualified applicant. You follow me? Yeah. See, and so it just tell you the grip and the ground what that grace can do in a person's life. Grace is what give an unqualified applicant divine influence. Powerful, man. I don't know if you realize what they're saying. Because in the spirit realm, we're all unqualified. See, Paul was really educated, smart, book learning. I talked to a man about his family the other day. His family kind of back off some of his family members. He said, I work hard to get them educated. And they got the academic, but they don't understand this anointing. They don't understand connection. They don't understand covering. He said, I had to pray for them. They got to get back under the covering. And some see, under the grace. Listen, grace, it is what makes people attracted to you for a reason they do not even understand in the natural. Divine influence. Say divine influence. Divine influence. Say it again. Say it again. You got to carry yourself in the spirit realm wearing that divine influence. And that divine influence is based on the fact that grace puts you in a certain place of power. It surrounds you and compels others to be attracted to you and it makes you irresistible as a messenger for God, you see. How to put it, he said, when grace kisses glory, acceleration comes. Give the illustration, when Abraham was called out by God, he responded and he encountered the glory of God. I'm going to give you a definition of glory later on. Without scripture, Abraham, or teaching, he went into a relationship with God and that accelerated the glory. Accelerate the glory. See, grace, if properly understood, accelerate the glory. It take you out of one world, take you out of one dimension and put you in another one. And in this school, that's what I'm trying to put in you while you're here. Please don't leave here and be regular. Now, here's a word that the church don't use much anymore, the word repentance. You know, that over there in the 139th Psalm, I believe, verse 23, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, and know my thought. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Very important. Very important, very important. You keep your soul flush. Get the poison out of your soul. Get the addiction out of your soul. All that stuff can get you Christian and get in your soul. You got to keep it clean. John the Baptist prepared a way for the coming of grace with his message of repentance. To receive the grace of God, we need to humble ourselves before him with repentance. See, now a lot of times we think we don't need to live a pretty good life. We think we don't need repentance. You need to repent. So John transitions us from the era of the law and the prophet to the era of the early church and grace. And that brought acceleration when John introduced Christ. Because Jesus was full of grace and truth. John Gospel tells us in the first chapter, he's full of grace and full of truth. So Jesus actually is grace. So you have grace living on the inside of you. And you have to let the Holy Spirit stir up grace. Now, notice this. God's grace and favor come only to two types of people. Number one, the humble. Number two, people who are moved by faith. In other words, God's grace comes only to two types of people. When it said the humble, prideful people do not recognize their need for God and rely on their own ability. I'm really trying to slap the hell out of you right now. Because, see, that's where the problem comes in. That's where the problem comes in right there, you see. Relying on your own ability. See, some of y'all are talented. And your talent can become a curse to you. You know, say like you're a preacher. See, some preachers, they can't preach, but they can sing. So they just mess the scripture all up and then start singing. And everybody thought they preached a good message. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes your talent, you see. See, now, I know every step I make, I got to depend on God. So I pray hours and hours, hours, extra hours, hours. I need God. Every time I open my mouth, I need God. See, so now I want to say this to you. The humble, prideful people do not recognize their need for God and rely on their own ability. Don't ever get there. See, by preaching in Madison Square Garden and by... I remember Creflo took me to a hotel, and I didn't have no money then, you know. And man, I forgot what that thing was, $1,000. I had to pay for that room. I thought I'd check out and go to another hotel, you know. So I had my own personal butler standing at the elevator. Had one elevator, you know, rock out the door of the elevator. The butler had to go get anything you want. Every room had a butler. You know, that can go to your head, you know. And, you know, but... I started to slip out late that night, man. I said, my wife, I said, what this gonna cause? Yeah, man, this man. And see, Creflo, he's just rolling, you know. People who move by faith, if you do not take steps of faith, the grace of God will not come. If you do not take steps of faith, the grace of God will not come because you don't need it. You're still in the flesh. Think about the word. Here's a word I want you to think about. F-L-O-W. Or F-L-O-W-I-N-G. Flowing. See, you have, as a minister, you have to learn to flow. What I mean by flow, step out. When you get a prompting or unctionizing from the Holy Spirit, don't be asking how. Yield, because grace is about to take you, become a breeze, you take you somewhere you couldn't get yourself. You understand that? Now listen to this class, because you can get routine and you can run with regular people, regular Christians, and you ain't going nowhere. Listen, because this statement here, His grace will not come upon you less unless you commit to change first. Hebrews 4:16 is a wonderful scripture. Throne of grace. Then I say, come to the throne of judgment. He said, come to the throne of grace. We're studying one of the things that causes supernatural work. Supernatural is grace. It's not performance. It's not self-effort. But it's yielding to the Holy Spirit. What I say? Yielding to the Holy Spirit. So, you must function in grace in order to function in the supernatural. Now, let's go to faith for a moment. I read the scripture ahead of time, Romans 12:3, that's the main scripture. Faith is not presumption. I remember Fred Price. Faith, foolishness, and presumption. And one of my children was young, might have been Leroy Jr. And I had got off in faith. You know, believing for healing, you know, and didn't want to go to no doctor, you know. Fred shacked me out in that book. Fred said, how a baby going to know about it? You better take that baby where you got to go, you know. And I caught on there that a lot of stuff you think is faith is presumption. And sometimes it's foolishness. Faith, foolishness, and presumption. I remember I read that book over and over again. But faith is not presumption, hope, or optimism. Listen, It is the ability to believe the unreasonable or impossible. You know, Jesus said in Mark 9:23, if thou can believe, all things are possible to them that believe it. But faith don't deal with impossibility. It make everything possible. Got it? Now we know Romans 10:17 says, so faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We know in 11:1 says, now faith is the substance. You see, faith is the substance of the spirit that can be manifested. Now faith is something thing hopeful. And then Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. He that come to God must believe that he is and he rewarded them that seek him. But here faith is a voluntary act based on our knowledge or conviction. See, so to operate in faith, you have to be knowledgeable. See, you can't mystifyly, if there's such a word, or in the mystical operating faith, you have to have some understanding that faith is actually the word of God. And see, the spirit and life in the word is what produce faith. Yeah, the spirit and life in the word. That's why I say, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The spirit and life that's in the word produces faith. See, faith, it is the legal entry to the invisible or supernatural realm. It is the legal entrance. See, some of you got illegal entrance. Faith is the legal entrance to the invisible or supernatural realm. You get any client? Watch, I'm going to say something else, but I'm going to say it another way now. It is the key to operate, number one, and work in the eternal realm. Faith is. It is the ability of the believer to believe something that is unreasonable. Now, one of the powerful things about faith look at a situation, faith look at a circumstance, faith look at a wall, faith look at a mountain, faith look at anything. But faith have already decided to be now. You know, no matter what the mountain is, what the wall, in the sixth chapter of Joshua, God said to, God said to Joshua, see, I've given you Jericho. The wall is still up. So faith has to be always now, or it's not faith. Faith is now and require a revelation from now. Faith requires a revelation from now, not next week. You need to have a revelation from now. So, class, hear what it says here. You cannot have a present faith without a present revelation. So, when you operate in faith, you have to be operating in some components of the word, but it has to be a revelation to you that is now. Faith never later, faith is always now. Now, here's where the problem come in at. I can't see it. No, you got two sets of eyes. You have to believe it. Your believing is eye. Let's say one eye is believing and the other eye is knowing in the spirit realm. Let's just say that. And that won't hurt nothing. Just say that. One eye is believing, the other eye is knowing. See? Because finally your believing should bring you to knowing. Listen, your believing can bring you to knowing before the manifestation. Before the demonstration. Before the creation. If you believe and walk in that belief, you'll get to a point where I know this. I got this. Let's go to something else. It has to manifest. It says we don't see miracles day in the church because miracles occur in the now, not yesterday. And so the expectation for the miracle. I think it's in Galatians 3 where it talks about how we receive miracle, not by the law, but by the hearing of faith. That's how miracle, that's Galatians 3, 5, isn't it? I think it is. Well, 2, 5, something like that. But what scripture is that? Look for it. Y'all look for it. It's 3, 5? 3, 5. Read it. See, the hearing of faith. So if the hearing, if the hearing of faith, miracles are right here now. Miracles run all around your head right now. You don't see them. You're just as natural as you can be. You just say, I'm in school. I'm in Darrow. I drove through the rain. It's your natural self. Miracles run all around us right now. All of us. Always. They're always there. They're always there. Oh, my goodness. Now, listen closely. It took me many years to come to the concept of this. Most of the decisions we make are based on time, not on faith. Now, hear me, Claire. See, faith is in another dimension than time. See, as a matter of fact, see, you can't have now and time at the same time. See, now take you off time. See, actually, when you're in faith, you never wait. No, when you're in faith, you take it right then. And you fully persuaded that what he has promised, he is also able to perform. See, Abraham was not weak in faith, but he was strong in faith, Romans 4, I think it's 20, giving glory to God. Most of the decisions we make are based on time. How many of y'all, you know, you say, well, not on faith. If I don't have it tomorrow, I don't know what I'm going to do. And somebody needs to slap you and bring you back to faith. God knows what he's doing. God stopped time. Yeah, I mean, God, man, you know. So most of the decision we make, and we get in fear, we get worried, and nothing happened yet. I was believing God. I had 13 scriptures. Nothing happened yet. I don't know. God must be the one me to have. What do you mean God don't want you to have it? What do you mean God don't want you to have? What God don't want you to have? That is a blessing to you. Just tell me something. Just tell me something God don't want you to have. That is a blessing to you. So I can sack you out. What God don't want you to have? That's religion. That's not revelation. That's ritual. That's not revelation. Nobody got your stuff. You just haven't taken it yet. So most of the decisions we make are based on time, not on faith. If it's not now, it's not faith. We wouldn't be sitting in here if I wouldn't operate in faith. I got a message from God. I got a message from God, not the money, the message. All I had was the message. Now, it takes faith to enter into the glory. All God can do, all God has, all God is. We'll talk about it in a little while. Let's see if we can address this class. Many people want to enter into the glory but don't even know what faith is. Now, here's a difference. I mentioned it just now, but I'm going to give it to you. I don't know if you caught it. in essence, talking about faith, it is the substance of the spiritual world. It is the substance that everything God said he would do. Jesus said he would do. The Holy Spirit said he would do. It's the substance of it. Faith is the substance of it. Faith is the substance of the spirit world that you by faith can get it to manifest, to demonstrate. In John 11:4, when Jesus heard about his friend's death, he said, this sickness is not unto death. But he died. He died. This thing is not unto death, but the man died. But for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So he went and raised him up. Now, challenges. How many of y'all ever been through anything? Some of y'all look kind of young. You ain't been through too much. You ain't been here long enough. Every challenge is a faith character builder.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's building the character of your faith. It's building the muscles of your faith. If you don't go through nothing, I thank God everything I've been through. You know, I had to believe God. Faith has been given to each and every one of us by measure, and that measure can be built upon. You must first believe in order to see the glory of God. You must first believe in order to see the glory of God. Entering into his glory is a reward of your faith. It is, matter of fact, it is his greatest reward. Right? And into his glory. The author points out faith is supernatural, but we have reduced it to something natural. And that's why I'm reading all these different definitions to you so you can get beyond that. Organized religion, got faith. You know, what faith are you? What do you mean, what faith I am? They're talking about Baptists. Pentecost, what faith are you? You ought to ask, what religion are you? Faith is supernatural, but we have reduced it to something natural. We have reduced it to optimism and motivational messages. But when you preach faith, the most amazing miracle takes place because it is now from a present revelation. I like that. That's powerful. Now, let's look out of these four dimensions of the supernatural. We dealt with great. Let's look at the anointing now. I love the anointing. 1 John 2:20 and 27 and Ephesians 4:7. 1 John 2:20 and 27. You know, we have an unction from the Holy One. We know all things. And then we say we have an anointing in us that teaches us all things. We need no man teaches, but the same anointing that abides in us teaches us all things. The anointing. So the anointing is an aspect of the supernatural power of God that empowers us to fulfill the purpose and calling here on earth, the power of God working through you. Now, you must be aware of the anointing within and the anointing upon. You have an anointing within, but there's an anointing upon that empower you to work in this system. Jesus said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. But you also have an anointing within. Right? The anointing is the aspect of the supernatural power of God that empower us to fulfill the purpose and calling here on earth. It's one of the aspects of his power working through us. The anointing has been given to each and every one of us by measure. So therefore we need each other, because we have measure that others don't have, and vice versa. And Ephesians 4:7 said, well, each of us, grace was given according to the measure Christ gave. So we don't have it all in ourselves. We need each other. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. People don't see the supernatural because they don't. Anointing is the power of God working through you. All right? It is the seal, S-E-L, in your spirit for you to experience the glory. Now, Ephesians 1:13. In him ye also trust. And after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The anointing is the seal in your spirit for you to experience the glory. The anointing is the seal in your spirit for you to experience the glory. Now, here's an amazing thing, class, about the anointing. The anointing was given to us for the earth. Why? There's no blind, deaf, or sick people in heaven. There are none who are brokenhearted and oppressed. You don't need the anointing in heaven. It is for earth. Another thing you have to understand is the anointing will not stand for you to become proud. When things start being accomplished in your ministry and in your life, you have to give God the glory. So it's not for your pride or for your fame. God wants to release the anointing to humble people who love the people. Mm-hmm. Not no show off. I've been with them before. Now you hear me talk a lot, and I say about a lot of I've gotten stuff done, but I'm talking about what God has done. See, Luke 4:18 is a powerful voice because it outlines some aspect of Jesus' ministry. Luke 4:18 is a powerful. And I'm told that's the text Jesus chose every time he preached. Luke 4:18. Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You can't preach the gospel without the anointing. See, the anointing and the gospel is about people, about meeting the needs of the people. If you meet the need of the people will meet your need. God will use them as a channel, you see. Yeah. If you bless the people will bless you. But if I ain't blessing nobody, I ain't getting nothing. You just saw anybody went to the basket empty and paid at the clerk in the store? They said $235, nothing in the basket. They paid for it? You must be out your mind. And so that was some people sitting in the pew telling the preacher, you must be out your mind. You ain't feeding me nothing. So you have these $5 and be satisfied. That's what I found when I came in ministry. That's what I found. Never knew God was going to have me to teach the body of Christ about massive money coming to the body of Christ. Write down that massive money coming to me. Massive production of money are taking place in my life right now. right now, I dare you. That's the word for the new year. 2017 is going to be a year of massive production. Yeah. I heard that 5:12 this morning. I got up. Oh, my goodness. I was doing good. I was laying there praying in tongues. I couldn't lay down no more. Then I said, all right, Lord, I got it. Then I had to tell somebody. So I started typing. I started texting. God gives us anointing because we all fell short of the glory of God. Man was under the glory, not the anointing before sin. And so God gave us anointing, take us back into the glory. See, Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right, class, let me go back and get a definition of glory now. You hear?
Yes, sir.
All right, glory, John 17:5-22. And it actually the manifested presence of God. I remember Leroy Jr. was teaching and making a statement, and the lady says, Leroy said, Father, we welcome your presence. And the lady said, God's presence always here. That's different dimension of the presence. Sure, God up in here. But he ain't manifesting. See, the glory is the manifested presence of God. These people get so deep, see. Knowledge can stop a move of God. And if it was such a thing, sometimes the letter can abort the spirit. Some want a birth, but you so letter orientated, you're so busy about your information, you can't move out in the revelation of the manifested presence of God. It's different. It's different. It's different. It's different. It's different. I've been in meetings, people talk, they do good talk, but God ain't manifesting. He's there. He say I'm everywhere. You see? You have to put yourself in a position that you invoke the manifested presence of God in operation. So glory is wonderful. All that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do. Now, what more do you want? Now, here's something you got to understand, though. If you can catch this, you become a candidate for the supernatural. It's all that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do, right? He does what he wants, when he wants, and the way he wants. Get that? In the glory, you got to a point without depending on our faith, gift or anointing. See, men don't know when the atmosphere has shifted, it's no longer faith. The glory has arrived. So now my spiritual father taught me how to flow in the glory. He would teach, boy, and preach faith. And when the glory come, he recognized it, he just flowed. I think the last time I was at Field Church, the glory came. And so I know it was time to flow. So I started walking the floor then. I know the glory was there. Just waved my hand. People got blessed, you see. Yeah, you gotta know when to flow with the glory. I said you gotta know when to flow with the glory. All right, let me find this page with the glory on it. I know it's in here somewhere. I've mixed the notes all up. So I just said this to you. It's all that God is, all that God has, all that God can do. When the glory shows up, your faith and anointing is not doing it. It is the glory. It is God himself. So now, do you understand that, class? You see, we have to know how to operate in grace. We have to know how to operate in faith. We have to know how to operate in the anointing, but they produce another dimension. If you're operating grace right, you're operating faith right, you're operating anointing right, then the glory shows. Now, when the glory shows, it's no longer using your anointing. And that's what happened. The glory showed up, and men still trying to walk in the anointing. So They're taking what should lead them into something, aborting it. So you have to get off this place where you want credit and you want the glory. And you want somebody to say what you did. What a powerful word that was. And look at that lady got her eye blind. Boy, you God really use you. Now that was the glory. I had nothing to do with it. God came, you know, and we was in a meeting. God give people all kind of manifestation. And I really didn't know. I didn't know what to do. I was sitting up here. I just followed. People started calling things out. The glory was walking through the building. So when the glory shows up, your faith and anointing is not doing it, is the glory, it's God himself. But God wants you to cooperate. Oh, there's an indictment. And this happens sometimes. What has happened, we have dissipated the glory by jumping, shouting, and running, and getting happy, but God came to do something. So after you got all sweaty, you got back to your seat, you're out of breath, but nobody got nothing but a shout, a jump. See right here, sitting, like y'all sitting now? The glory will work right there. Sometime I believe we disturb God's presence with our flesh. Because we have an idea. Why you think, and I'm doing it again now in the church now because we're at a certain stage in Word of Life, why you think there must be pauses in service? Letting that atmosphere calm down. God might want to say something. Right now you can sense his presence. See, he's here and he's willing to manifest. But you don't have to be screaming, jumping, and hollering for him to manifest. Be still and know I'm God. See. So what has happened? We have dissipated the glory by jumping, shouting, and running, and getting, not saying nothing to jump. Sometimes it's time to jump. Sometimes it's time to shout. But I want God to do what he came to do. See, he came to drop off hearts, drop off livers. Think God can drop a heart off? Think he can drop a liver off? Kidney? Think he got an extra one? But when he come, we have to know when not to disturb him. Wow. Wow, man. Wow. Mm-hmm. So what we do? Here what it is, Claire. We have to know how to receive and flow with him. How to receive and flow. You see, class, glory is another realm in the spirit. And so through grace, you're walking, faith, you're walking, the anointing, these are dimensions of the spirit, but then you step in the glory, and if you don't understand how to make the transition, you can abort the baby. About the manifestation, about the demonstration, about the creative activity that is about to be happening in the atmosphere. That's what the word salah is in the Bible for. Stop and eat this fully. You think God want to do something in you right now? Yes, You need an extra part or anything? Something ain't working right? See, he can come right now and do it. Expectation. We have faith. We know about grace. I told you about it. We know about the anointing. But when the glory comes, when his manifested presence comes, he never comes empty-handed. And so we're going to have to learn how to pause. There are moments in the service that we should somewhat, if I call it, easy praise. Not radical praise, easy praise. You know, just kind of lift your hand in the air and say thank you. I mean, not drawing no attention to yourself. Just drawing all attention to him. Thank you for what we heard tonight. And your word came true tonight. Thank you. I have understanding about grace and faith and the anointing. And I understand when your glory comes, that's you. And I have to learn how to yield and flow to it. And this portion, you can do this portion. See. My darling, what do you think? We've got to be making a lot of noise. But I think we miss an atmosphere. We miss a move of the Spirit of God. There's such an expectancy in here right now. Just teaching the word, just going through the word. Because God honor his word. He honor people who study his word and hunger for him. You know? So, I mean, it don't have to be a big camp meeting for God to move. Oh, my goodness. Uh-huh. But we sing worship songs and creating an atmosphere and environment for the glory to come. God just show up on his own dimension, doing stuff. So class, those four things you're going to have to learn now. And you're going to have to learn how to make transition from one to the other. Transition, let me say it this way. Transition, you got the grace, and then you go into faith. You go into the anointing, okay? And God is using you through all those three aspects. But now when the manifested presence come, the glory come, and that's one of the major things in the church. They don't know when to stop. The choir don't know when to stop. The singer don't know when to stop. The preacher don't know when to stop. And so it disturbed something God wants to do. Because you're still trying to do it. See? Understand that? See? Just like this atmosphere is here right now. Right here, right now. It's a, my goodness. It's an opening for God. See, most religion don't give God a chance. Let's see how can I explain it to you. Sometimes we're so busy telling God who he is, he can't be I am. See, there are certain period when people are worshiping God and praising God that he's not ills no more. Come into service as I am. Whatever is not existing at that moment, I am. And then miracles, signs, and wonders start popping off in that atmosphere. Watch what I said. Sometimes we don't even give God a chance. Your soul and your body has to be calmed down. Are you following? Sometimes we create a good presence and mess it up ourselves. By not knowing, we'll give you the two word again, by not knowing how to yield and how to flow. I know that there's more. And I know he have trained me for more. See, write this down. Gifting, shifting, and lifting. Those three stages. You have to know how. You have to know how to yield to a gift. You have to know how to shift in the spirit. And you have to know how to permit the Holy Spirit to lift you out of yourself, out of your circumstances, into his realm. You have to learn the touch of the Spirit when the Holy Ghost is touching you. Sometimes it's so really like a poison touching you. You ought to be still. Listen. Yield. Whisper quietly, thank you. Thank you for making yourself known to me. See? The word quicken. Come alive. Move in another realm. That's the supernatural. It's God's stuff. See? And you and I are designed to function in God's stuff. Now, my class, I'm going to close, but I want you to know them four dimensions now. You got to know them. Grace of God, faith, the anointing, and the glory. Now, you're always trying to get to the glory. When the glory comes, whoever may be temporarily in charge has to yield and what? I can't hear you. I ain't say yield and go to sleep. I say yield and flow. So you must learn to yield and flow. You must learn to yield and flow. When the glory comes, the glory don't want your faith. It don't want your grace, and it don't want your anointing. It now wants you, come on now, this is very important. It now wants you to, now don't try to fake this. You're going to fall flat on your face. And it's going to take spiritual education. You ain't going to be no overnight wonder. Because if so, the reading of supernatural is so dangerous, there's another supernatural aspect that is demonical. So let me say this to you too. Hebrews 4:12 talk about divine discernment. The word discern, whether it's God moving or the devil moving. See. If you have a person pretending to be moving in the spirit, you went to minister to that person. And if you want to find out if that's the spirit of God or the spirit of the enemy, tell them, say, the blood of Jesus. They're not going to be able to say it. I went in a room. I don't know how many preachers in there. They called for me. That man had thrown them all side the wall. When I walked in the room, that's about 20-something years ago. When I walked in the room, he says, when you got here? This is calm. I said, I just walked in. I said, in the name of Jesus, let's clear this up. Yeah. You know, the mother preacher was tired, but he was in the corner. He said, man, I'm glad you're here, man. Them religious preachers, they're like, come out in Jesus' name. He said, I ain't coming out. I'm coming on. Because their faith was that they're trying to use it, you know, you need more power.
What do I have to fear? Yes. But it's reverential fear. And if God don't get me out, I won't go out. See. Don't go ahead of your ministry trying to do stuff that you don't know nothing about. That's why you need a covering. You need a connection. You actually need somebody to carry you a while. You know, like a mama carried a baby. My little grandbaby, now they got to carry my little grandbaby. Darnell Jr. got to carry him because he can't carry himself. But you know, I see in the near future, that boy going to be something running around the house. And you ever get them legs to moving, you know, and find out what them legs for. And so you got to find out what your legs for in the spirit, see. And then you'll be able to walk, be able to run, you'll be able to do things. But you got a good start. I mean, this school, because I know these instructors, I know they're pointing on you. And the value of what we're doing is so important for the present day church. Because we're talking about apostolic. Let me give you these three things. Prophetic, I'm going to change it for one for you. Prophetic movement. The prophetic ministry is seeing and saying. Okay? Apostolic wisdom. An apostle is an architect. He's a master builder. Okay? And then kingdom government. These three are on the horizon today to make governing territorial churches. That's what we're aiming to do in the LTMA in different cities, that those churches know how to operate in kingdom government with the apostolic anointing. Okay? So prophetic, the prophetic is seeing and saying. The apostolic is wisdom and a master builder. You see Paul's how he's a master builder. He's an architect. So like an engineer. See. And so that's why the church structurally, spiritually, has not functioned in the power of God at its max. Because we've been trying to do it all with a pastor, a teacher, and an evangelist. And we ain't even know what a prophet or apostle, we always put them in the past or in the future. We need some now. And so we're training apostles now. We're training apostolic pastors. Man, a pastor, but he got the apostolic on him. And so he can be a master builder. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing with you. See, you have a, for lack of better words, I don't know if it's the right word, but you have apostolic segments on you when you leave here, because you're in that atmosphere of the apostolic. So therefore, there are going to be some adjustment that has to be made within the conference of organized religion. A lot of times, they're going to understand who you are. Or why you lack you all. Are you following me? But you still got to walk in love. You know, a dummy is just a dummy. The person don't know. The person don't know. I see these people about finances and wealth and prosperity. I feel so. They just don't know. They don't know I was sent to help them. And so, see, they back where I was once before. Who you think he is? I was back there many years ago. I've been left there. They're at the old house. Who you think he is? I know who I am. You see what I'm saying? And you got to get in there. You got to get in that flow. So you can't run with that crowd. And your biggest Jesus. You know we're not. If Jesus had to go through things, you know we're gonna go through it. Your biggest problem gonna be your family. That's been my biggest problem. So I just turn it into a solution. I know it just ain't going to flow, so I just love them and do the best way I can. But that's going to be the problem because they don't understand. Jesus' family didn't understand. They're out there. He in a meeting. Daddy told him, we need to talk with him. I read the story just a few days ago of a man, great man of God, preached to 30,000 people at one time, and his older brother got sick And his older brother had taken care of him when he was younger and took care of him and his mom. And his older brother got sick and died. And he was in a foreign country, had some meeting set up. So his mom called him. Remember what Jesus said to his mom, woman, what I had to do with you? We're in another dimension now, woman. It ain't about the little boy here now. Yeah. See, you don't tell me when to move no more. And so the mom called him and said the boy's funeral was going to be his brother, the older brother. He loved his brother and told him, you got to be here. And he couldn't go. He had to fulfill his mission. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. See. So there's some points you had to come in your life. You got to make a decision. I remember Leroy Jr., who's my oldest son. It was a New Year's Eve night. Leroy's heart went off. You know, God, he got a miracle because his heart, he wasn't supposed to play ball, but God gave him a new heart. And so the heart was running, I mean, just off the hook. And so Carolyn called me, and the Spirit of God, take him to the hospital. I'm going to preach. You really don't love your son? No, I might have killed him if I'd have went. See, now if God told me to go, I would have went, but God didn't tell me to go. So I went and preached. God took care of him. See, I'm just trying to tell you that in ministry, you have to make some grave decisions. Now, actually, now when it comes down to church, here's go. God first, family second, church third. See, God and his church is one, but God first, but the church, you don't put it ahead of your family. And my family, I've taught a lot of ministers. Maybe you have some that's not always in alignment in your family, but don't let the church use your family as an example because they're not God. They should do the right thing, but they're in training also. So I always took care of my family. All my members always respected my family because I respected them. You know, my boy was running around here and they're trying to make him be better boy. I said, they're just babies. They're going to do what their other babies do. So let the boy run. Don't be stopping them. You know you're the pastor's son? Yeah. I'm the pastor's son, but I don't know about no pastor. All right, Claire. All right, we'll take up more on the supernatural in our next session. You dismissed.